All right, welcome back. How we doing? Doing good, all right. Well, I see a lot of Hawaiian shirts. Looks like everybody's ready for a good time tonight. Welcome to the gathering. As Carly said, we want to be a place where you can belong, be known, and become like Christ. And so we know that the young adult years can be, they can be lonely. They can be difficult. They can have unexpected things happen. They can have things that we don't want to happen. And so we wanted to create a space, man, it was like 8 years ago or so, where we could just get together and connect around our faith in Christ, encourage one another, and then hopefully go into our city and bring the hope of Christ to wherever we find ourselves. And so we're glad that you're here. Guys, we're gonna be kind of all over the place in your Bibles tonight, so I can't tell you to go to one particular place, but what I can do is I can tell you about a commercial that took over the United States in 1989, a long time ago. But my guess is that many of you know this commercial, even though many of you, most of you, probably all of you, were not born yet. You see, it was this commercial with this little old lady, and she was in, she had a walker, and she was going across her kitchen really slowly. And the production value in the 80s was top notch, and so it looked really good too. And so she's going across the kitchen, I don't remember what happened. Something happened though, and she fell over. And she's all alone. Some of you know where I'm going with this already. She has fallen, and I can't get up. There it is. You knew it. Is this commercial that it just took over? Like it was one of these, it was so poorly done that you're like, you've got to be kidding me. And so it became this punchline in pop culture. There's tons of parodies over it. And almost, what, 40, 35 years later, you still know the line. You probably haven't even seen the commercial, right? It was this commercial for the, it was like Life something, Life Alert. You guys know more than I do. Life Alert. And it was this little thing that you wore around your neck. This is before Bluetooth. This is before cell phones. But somehow, you could push the button, and you could say, I have fallen and then someone will say, help is on the way. And it was a wonderful thing, right? But here's the thing about it. As I was thinking about tonight's message, and we're talking about the soul, we're in week four of our soul care series. This is the commercial that came to my mind, because what we're gonna talk about tonight is the exact same problem that the sweet little old lady had. Because our soul has the same two problems. Our soul is fallen, and it is incredibly needy. It cannot do it by itself. And so, yes, she is fallen and she can't get up, but there's also a truth about our soul that is fallen and it can't get up. It is needy and it is dependent. And so what I want to do tonight is I kind of want to offer up these problems, right? The first problem is this, that our soul is vulnerable because it is needy. That's problem number one. Our soul is vulnerable because it is needy. And what I mean by that is it's vulnerable to its needs. It wants and it wants and it wants. And so it's always looking for something to fill the want. Like we're limited in almost every way as human beings, right? Think about this. We are limited intellectually. We're limited in strength. We're limited in our energy. Some of you are feeling that right now. Like it's the end of the day, I'm tired. I hope this isn't long, right? We're limited in our morality. But here's the kicker. There's one area that we are unlimited in, and that is desire. We have unlimited desire. We have unlimited wanting. Right, we want more. Like that's our whole world is based on wanting more. I want more power. I want more things. I want more money. I want more pleasure. I want more experiences. I want more influence. I want. And when those wants start to rise, here's what's actually happening. It's your soul crying out that I need something. The question is, what are you feeding it? Because when it says, I want more and I want more and I want more, it means our soul is not satisfied with what we are feeding it. And it's needy and it's vulnerable That's our first problem. But our hope is that the soul's infinite capacity to desire and want is only matched by God's infinite ability to give. Everything else is limited. There's a limited amount of experiences, amount of influence, amount of power, amount of money. Those are all limited. But God's ability to give is unlimited. The second problem that we have tonight with our soul is that it has fallen. Just like that little old lady, it has fallen and it can't get up. You see, our need that our soul has was meant to point us to God. But because we have a fallen nature, which means our souls are also fallen, we instead devote our minds, our bodies, and our wills to other things. Follow me here. This is an important point, that our soul, we are fallen by sin. Everything in the world is tainted by sin, including our souls, which includes our wants and our desires. And so what we do is, because we have a fallen soul, we start seeking after things that will not fulfill, that will not satisfy, and our world will sell them to you as fast as you can buy them. It's because our wills are fallen, our souls are fallen, that our desires don't automatically match what we need. We have wants, we have desires, but they don't always line up with what we actually need. Right? We do this all the time. Let me bring this down to a little bit more of a practical level. Like, we know that we need to go to bed at a good hour. We're tired and we need to go to bed. We need to go to sleep. We need to turn everything off, go to sleep. That's what we need. But what do? We lay in bed and we scroll for hours and we send funny reels to our friends. And then in the morning, we're like, oh, why did I stay up so late? That was so stupid. Right? Because we have a fallen nature, our needs and our desires do not always line up with what we, our wants and our desires don't always line up with what we need. And so those are our two problems that we see with our soul. And what ends up happening is idolatry comes into play. Pastor, author, Tim Keller, who just passed away not about a week ago, he said this: idolatry is the sin beneath the sin. Think about that for a second. Idolatry is the sin. It's the one beneath it. It's the one driving it. It's the one motivating it. It's idolatry. It is going to something other than God that only God can do. But our hope in that is that God, through Jesus, has offered redemption to our fallen soul. So if we have two problems with our soul, that it's vulnerable because it's needy, and that our soul is fallen, what does our world say is the solution to this problem? It's easy. Our world says the solution to this problem is there is no problem. You be self-sufficient. You don't have any needs. You're good. The answer is within. You are complete. You're independent. You don't need anything or anyone. You do you. Or maybe another way to say it is, you live your truth. The world says there's no problem. You are self-sufficient. You do you. And then they say, you're not fallen. What are you talking about? No. You are good just as you are. So you go chase the desires that you want. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing fallen about you. You just chase all the things that you desire, because whatever you desire will fulfill you. And then once that lie is told, so we got two lies: that we can be self-sufficient, we don't have any need. The second lie is that you're not fallen, that you're just fine as you are. And the third lie is, once we're convinced that we're okay and we can just go chase our desires, then the third lie is that now worship that desire. Worship that desire. Fill every desire you have as much as you can with every ability and resource that you have, and you will find what you're looking for, says the lie. So we have a soul problem. The world has a solution saying there is no problem. Just keep going. just as you are, whatever you want to do, chase the desires. Those desires will fulfill you. Eventually, you'll worship them and you'll be enslaved to them. But God's word tells us otherwise. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. What does God's word say the solution to these problems are? And so the subject for tonight's message is what the soul needs. Not what it wants, what it needs. Not what it desires, it's what the soul needs. So the first thing that the soul needs is to admit and submit our desires and needs to God. Instead of denying that we are dependent creatures in great need, we lean into the fact that God created us dependent and that we are creatures with great need. We lean into it. It's good and healthy to acknowledge that we are needy souls and that we were designed to need God. That'd be like someone going to the hospital with a broken leg and saying, no, I'm good. I don't need anything. No. The good and healthy thing is to say, no, you have a problem. And the best thing to do is connect you with a doctor that can actually help your problem. And so God made us dependent on him because he knew what was best for us was him. There was a philosopher and priest, you probably have heard of him, named Thomas Aquinas. He wrote that the neediness of the soul is a pointer to God. Maybe the best way I can think about that is a neon flashing arrow. It says, open 24 hours. You have need, God is the one to fulfill it. We believe the lie that we should hide and be ashamed of our needs and our weaknesses. That's the anti-gospel. The gospel says, no. You need a savior. You were created to be with God. In fact, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 11, he says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because what does our weakness cause us to do? Fall on our knees and say, God, help me. It's in that position. It's in that heart posture where you are strongest because you're admitting, I'm weak. I have need. God, help me. I know I share too much about my kids sometimes, but I hope you are all parents someday because these biblical truths, you get to watch it happen right in front of you. I've got some kids that they are very familiar and more than willing to share their weaknesses. Even when they don't actually have them, they just want someone to do it for them, right? And as a dad, it means the world to me that they would come to me saying, I have something I can't do, will you help me? I know you can. There's a recognition of our relationship there. And I think Paul is saying the same thing here. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, in my need for a savior. You see, what this passage is saying is pride keeps us from experiencing God's sufficient grace. Our unwillingness to admit and submit our needs to Christ actually puts a barrier between God's grace and your soul. It's like turning off the faucet of God's grace. Like, I don't need you. But humility, leaning into it, ushers in God's grace. Because the soul is designed to need and to search for God. I shared this several weeks ago, Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, God has set eternity in the hearts of man. The soul was designed to need and to search for God. That's why when you look at the stars at night, you go to a place in your thought process that goes beyond the physical world. when you look at a vast ocean or a deep canyon and you're in awe. There's something in us that says, there is something greater than me. God has placed that in you. Because our need is a pointer to God. John Ortberg, in his book, Soul Keeper, says it this way: our soul begins to grow in God when we admit our basic neediness for something more than this world offers. Our soul begins to grow in God when we admit our basic neediness for something more than this world offers. We see this idea all throughout Scripture, that there is something more that our soul desires. Hebrews 4:16, the author writes this: let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive — you can't receive unless you need — that we may receive mercy. We are in need of God's mercy, and find grace to help in the time of need. Why would we pretend that we don't have a need when all through Scripture it says we have need? And his name is Jesus. It's all through the Psalms. Like the Psalms, like if there was a theme for the Psalms, it would be the soul is crying and longing for God. Here's just a few. Psalm 63:1 says the soul thirsts for the mighty one. Psalm 143:6 says it thirsts for him like parched land thirsts for water. Psalm 33:20 says it waits in hope for him. Psalm 25:1 says it, our soul, lifts itself up to him. Psalm 103, it blesses and worships him. Psalm 63:8, it clings to him. Psalm 62:1, it waits for him. And in Psalm 84:2, it says, my soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That is the desire of the human soul. It is to need God. Another quote in John Ortberg's book, he says this: our minds may be obsessed with idols. My will may be enslaved to habits. My body may be consumed with appetites, but my soul will never find rest until it finds God. Could not agree with that more. We've been using this image over this series of this idea that the soul is longing to integrate us. Our will, our mind, and our body want to be integrated, and the soul is always working to integrate those three things. And so when John says, our minds may be obsessed with idols, my will may be enslaved to habits, my body may be consumed with appetites, but my soul will never rest until it finds God, means God is the one that integrates it all. My mind, my body, and my will are all trying to go different directions. And when you feel like you're losing your soul, it's because there's disintegration. Your soul is disintegrating because it's not connected with the Lord. It's connected with idols that cannot do what you want them to do. And what we do is we end up settling for the idols of our mind. We end up settling for the slavery of our will and the appetites of our bodies. We settle. As C.S. Lewis says, we are way too easily pleased. Because the reality is we have an eternal appetite that only God can fulfill. And so we need to admit and submit our needs to God. The second solution to our problems tonight is that we need to turn toward and worship God. That we need to turn toward and worship God. You see, the soul must revolve around something other than itself. The soul needs something we can worship. Because we were made to worship, right? I mean, think about it. Look around us. We were made to worship. Our souls long to worship something bigger and greater than ourselves. That's why we love experiences. One experience that my family has gotten the opportunity to have a couple times is going to Disney World. I've had both sets of my parents and my wife's parents graciously said, we will take you guys. So we didn't have to foot the bill. It was fantastic. It's the best kind of trip. And one of the weirdest things that we started to notice, and you guys may know exactly what I'm talking about if you've been there, is this phenomenon called Disney adults. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's weird. It's kind of creepy. It's adults, like not like your age, it's like adult adults. Like that they are like all in. And they got this, there's a moth right there, all right. Holy Spirit's present, here we go. But they got the hats on, they got the costumes, and you can tell they've given their whole life to Disney. I looked up this phenomenon, and in 2022, 1 year ago, NPR wrote an article, and it is titled, "For Some Adults Who Love Disney, It's Like a Religion." Maybe it's not Disney for you. Maybe it's cars. I see it every weekend in my life with youth sport moms and dads. Or maybe it's a marathon person that puts the mileage on the back sticker on the back of their car, and they want to tell you about it every time. Or the CrossFit folks, they just want to tell you about their CrossFit. I mean, it could be coffee. It could be self-indulgence. Anything can become like a religion. Why? Because our soul is needy. Our soul is crying out for something more than what this world offers. And we will chase anything if we're not careful to find integration and peace for our soul. How do we know what we worship? It's what we give our time, our money, our energy, our emotions, and thoughts to most. It's your time, it's your money, it's your energy, your emotions, and your thoughts. You follow those, you will find what you worship. In fact, the greatest and most consistent sin in the Old Testament is idol worship. That the Israelites would constantly turn from God, constantly. And then it would go terrible for them, and then they'd turn back to God. And that's what our soul needs, is to turn toward and worship God alone. Not the things that this world offers, not the created. We need to worship and turn our hearts and our souls towards the Creator. We see this in Scripture, Psalm 119:59. The psalmist writes, I have considered my ways and have turned my steps towards your statutes. In Acts 3:19, Peter is preaching to the Israelites who have just crucified Christ, and they just realize, he said, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So whether it's the Old Testament psalmist or the New Testament, Peter is saying, turn to God. Turn your hearts and your soul and worship to God. Because it's the nature of the soul to need. It's always wanting. It's vitally important to attend your soul and direct your soul towards what it actually needs, not just what it wants. We must turn towards something, or in this case, someone. We see it all through the New Testament. We see the Apostle Paul. His heart was turned towards self-righteousness and being good and power. And then on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. The woman at the well, her heart and soul were turned towards security. Because in those days, being an unwed woman was dangerous and vulnerable. And so her life was marked by marriage after marriage after marriage. Her heart was turned to security. But then one day, she met Jesus. And then you got Zacchaeus. His heart was turned towards money. He gave up relationships, his integrity, and his honor to chase his idol. And then one day he met Jesus and his heart turned. And the woman at the well's heart turned. And Paul's heart turned to Jesus. And it changed their life and it changed their eternity. But then you've got the rich young ruler. whose heart was turned towards money and being good enough on his own. And then one day he met Jesus and said, no, thank you. And you have the Pharisees whose hearts were turned towards power and influence. And one day they met Jesus and they too said, no, thank you. In fact, we will kill you if you mess with our idols. So here's my point, is you can meet Jesus and say no. You can be in church just like the Pharisees and turn your heart away from Christ. It is letting your soul be submitted to Christ that changes and satisfies the soul. Because our souls are needy, and what it needs is to be turned toward and worship God alone. Lastly, what the soul needs is to know that God desires and invites us to be with him. The soul needs to know that God desires and invites us to be with him. Because unlike people that we may know, our neediness doesn't burden or annoy him. Guys, we know this. There are people in our lives whose neediness annoys us. Not so with God. Not so. He desires for you to bring your need to him. Again, we see this all through Scripture. In fact, the whole story of the Bible. All right, I didn't learn this until way too late. There is one story in the Bible from beginning to end. It's all one continuous story. If you're like me, I was just taught snippets of little stories from VBS style. And I didn't learn that there's one overarching story. And you know what that story is? To be with you and for you to be with him. In the garden, Adam and Eve were with God. They sinned and they were separated. And so throughout the whole Old Testament, we see God's presence be with his people, whether that's through a cloud by day or fire by night, or a burning bush or the tabernacle or the Ark of the Covenant. You see God time and time again say, I am with my people. And then we get to the Gospels in the New Testament, and you see Jesus actually come put on flesh to be with his people. And as Jesus dies and rises again and forgives our sin, he says, I am leaving, but I'm going to give you my spirit to be with you. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He invites us. He desires and invites us. In John 14:15-16, it says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You see, from the beginning, God was with his people. Through all of time, God's heart is to be with his people and for his people to be with him. And so he sent Jesus to bring us back to him on a rescue mission, to bring humanity back to God, to take our sin upon himself so that we will be wiped clean, so that we could be with God once again. And then he left and he gives us his Holy Spirit to be with us wherever we go. And then at the end of the story in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1-4, John saw a vision. And this is what he said. Listen to this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death and no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The whole story of the Bible is that God desires to be with you and for you to be with him. Because he knows, because he made you, what your soul needs is him. No amount of money, no amount of power, no amount of well-cultivated reputation will fill your soul. But God will. That's the story of the Bible. That one day you will be with him. And he will make all things new. The soul thrives, not through our accomplishments, but through simply being with God. Can I just say that one more time, a little slower? Because this is a hard concept. Because we grow up in a world and we live in a world that is based on accomplishment. The soul, your soul, my soul thrives not through our accomplishments, but through simply being with God. That means you can be poor and you can be soul filled to the brim. You can have great loss and tragedy in your life and your soul can be full. You can be rich, you can be poor. You can be talented, you can be less talented. You can be really good looking or not so good looking. God doesn't care. He wants to be with you and he wants you to be with him. And this requires an unordinary humility because our whole world is based on accomplishment, every bit of it. And so we have to make a mind turn. We have to turn our minds around. We have to renew our minds, as Paul would say. Renew our minds to know that your soul is meant for God, not for accomplishment. And that Jesus invites us in. He desires and invites us to be with him. So why would you wait one more second to be with him? Why would you wait one more second when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is waiting to indwell you, to be with you wherever you go? One of the pastors here on staff used to be a college professor. And one of the questions that he would ask his students is not just in like casual conversation, he'd wait for a heavy moment. And he would ask me, look him right in the eye and say, are you all alone in there? Is it just you in there, in here? Is it just you? Because I'll tell you what, that is a terrifying idea. Is it all this life that we are living is just me? But the comfort of being a Christian is that you are not alone. That the Spirit of God lives in you and is with you all the days of your life. And that one day you will then be with him. Your faith will become sight. So why would you wait one more day doing it on your own? Striving and trying and accomplishing to do what only Christ can do. Why would we wait? So the problems that we have with our soul are two things. It's vulnerable because it's needy. And our soul is fallen. God's solution to that in his word is to admit and submit our desires and needs to him. To turn toward and worship him. Not idols. Not the created over the creator. And to know in your soul that God desires and actually invites you to himself. He is a good father who is trustworthy. And he's saying, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened and empty, and you will find rest for your soul. What a wonderful invitation. Why would we wait one more day? So what do we do with this? I'm gonna give you three things, but here's my encouragement. I want you to start small, with small moments. Don't walk out and be like, well, I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life, every day, forever and ever and ever. No, just start with a small moment of tending to your soul. The first thing I wanna challenge you and encourage you to do is often and regularly acknowledge the basic neediness of your soul. Acknowledge the basic neediness of your soul. And I'm not just talking like one time. I'm talking every time you have a need. When you ask them out and they say no and it crushes you again, you go to God with that need. God, I need to know that I'm worthy and I'm valuable and lovable. God, that's my need right now. You go to Him with that. If you don't get the job, if your plans don't come to fruition, whatever the need may be, go to Him and say, God, I'm in need. I need You. Sometimes that's the easiest and simplest prayer. God, I need You. He's not annoyed. He is not bothered by your need. He says, come, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Number two, choose to abide with God even in the small things. Choose to abide, which means to remain with Him. Choose to remain with God even in the small things. And here, this may be a silly exercise, but I think this could be really, really impactful. I want you to go back to when you were a kid and you played imaginary play. Maybe you had an imaginary friend or you had figurines that you would play with and there was a fake war or a fake adventure. Like we would imagine, right? Go back to that place and imagine that Jesus is with you right there in your car next to you. Imagine that Jesus is right there with you in that meeting, sitting right next to you. Imagine that you're on that date and Jesus is right there with you. Because what will end up happening is it will change every situation that you are in. When you know and remember that Jesus has promised in Matthew 28:20 that I will be with you wherever you go, that you are not alone. So choose to abide with Him. Or maybe it's just go on a prayer walk. Put the phone down, walk out into God's creation and just talk to Him. Listen to Him. Create the space to let your soul connect with the Lord. Because I'll be honest, sometimes when I open this thing, it's a checklist for me. I gotta have my quiet time. I gotta do it right to be a good Christian. Even at this point in my life, I still struggle with that. Choose to abide. Number three, ask this question as a prayer. Help me be with You today and aware that You are with me. Simply ask Him, help me be with You today and aware that You are with me. As you walk into those moments, a hard conversation, something you're afraid of, God, help me know and help me be with You in this and help me be aware that You are with me in this. And that's how we start caring for our soul, because our soul is needy, not for accomplishment, not for experiences, not for pleasure, not for indulgences, not for power. Our soul is needy for God. So that's what I would encourage you to do tonight. Acknowledge the basic neediness of your soul often and always. Choose to abide with God even in the small things. And ask Him, not once, twice, ask Him 50 times a day. Help me be with You today. and help me be aware that you are with me. And just watch how your life changes. Watch how your perspective changes. Watch how you treat people differently, knowing that Jesus is right there with you. Our souls are vulnerable because they're needy. They have fallen and they cannot get up. Good thing. Jesus is just one moment away because he's already with you. I'm gonna give you 120 seconds. We're gonna leave these so what's on the screen. Just encourage you to pray through that real quick, however you want. Or maybe you just need to stop and just tell God, I need you. I need you. I'm weak. I need you in this. I need you in that. So let me pray. I'll give you a few moments to process and pray. And then we'll close with one more song tonight. God, thank you for your word. That it addresses the deepest parts of us. God, that your word is not superficial. It goes to the depth of our soul and actually gives us actionable solutions to find rest and peace and purpose. God, I pray for those in this room tonight that have called themselves Christians, but they're just church attenders. God, would you give them sight to see their need for you? And would you give them the boldness to surrender and submit their life to you tonight? God, would you open our eyes to see the idols that we are worshiping in place of you that is disintegrating our soul? God, would you renew us and refresh us tonight? In your son's name, amen.